about them knowing.
Right. I pick up with the anointing. I'm ready to go in chapter 4 when you're ready. You're ready to do it.
Going over in chapter 4.
Whenever we're ready.
Wherever you're going, just go. But I couldn't bypass the anointing.
Mm-mm. The anointing is very important. A year before the Lord called me to the ministry, I had a dream in 1986. Uh-huh. I was in three dangers, and I woke up, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed." And I heard His voice as I walked in the kitchen, fade out, saying, "You're anointed." In every danger, I was fine. I was protected. But He didn't call me to the ministry yet. But He told me that. A year later, He called me to the ministry. He woke me up and said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you should be a vessel of honor."
Amen.
And I said,
you know, that's just like David. David was anointed. Samuel came down and poured that oil all on David.
Yeah.
And he was a young boy when he did that. He wasn't ready for king yet. Hmm. He still had to go through some challenges. But he was definitely ready for a Goliath. Mm-hmm. That gave him the entrance to king. But he still, after that, he was on the run. He still didn't get the king. Mm-hmm. So I was just saying, by you saying you didn't get it until maybe a year later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happened to David. It took him a while to get to where he was anointed to go. But he had the anointing on him. He was fighting giants and everything else, getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Even Saul. Somebody that wants to keep you from. And let me tell you, it's some Sauls still today that want to keep that anointing. Keep that anointing off of you. Because they know if the anointing hits you, and if you walk in that anointing, it's a threat to them.
Your anointing is a threat to Satan, and he knows it.
Yes, yes.
And that's why, the Lord was showing me, no matter what happens, I'm with you. You're anointed.
You know, and that's the reason the enemy tried to keep you in a charade all the time. Mm-hmm. Always just something going on. If it ain't in your family, it's in somebody else's family, mm-hmm. you know, that you're connected with. Or that, you know, they're always just trying to keep you in a charade so that anointing can't go forth like it really want to.
Between the time that I had the dream and then he called me to the ministry, mm-hmm. at the church at Refuge Temple, we had this youth thing. It was standing room only. It was full. It was packed out. And I had to say a few words. And I didn't intend to say but a few words. But when I spoke those words, the anointing took over, and I said things that were just profound. It amazed everybody. It amazed me. But I wasn't a preacher yet, so I said what I said and sat down. And then I wasn't interested in the ministry till the Lord gave me my first sermon, and I got excited about it. I did have a desire for it somewhat, but I didn't want it. You know, that wasn't a goal of mine to be a preacher. I wanted to just make money and support the church or something. And I had a desire to teach the word because I saw needs that were out there, but when I knew that he'd give me what to say, that's when I got interested. And Elder Lewis used to receive messages from the Lord, so he was my visual. You know, I had a visual. Well, I go and ask the Lord what to say. I won't just come up with something. But with the anointing, whatever God tell you to do, I believe there's an anointing with it. He provides you with the anointing to do. If he tell you to do something, you can do it. You have an anointing for it. It's not normal. You'll have supernatural wisdom, supernatural counsel whenever you need it, and it's unlimited. And there's a preparation period. David was prepared to be king. God could have just thrown him out there, and he wouldn't have known what to do. But the Lord showed him. He let him run into things. He did me the same way. Saul tried, the king that he was trying to please and honor, tried to kill him. he knew that the Philistines didn't like him and all the other nations. But he learned wisdom and judgment, not to hate. Not, he learned to forgive. He later on tried to help the Philistines. David was a forgiving man. If they repented, then he dealt with them. If they fought, then he fought. Whatever he had to do, he did. But he did it according to the love of God, not just vengeance, not just anger.
That's a good picture, not vengeance, not anger. Anger, because when he got to Saul and could have killed him, he said, ain't gonna touch God anointed. He still looked at Saul as God anointed. He said, I'm gonna let God handle what he
Right.
And I'm not going to take his life, but God handle.
And some things, even though a person has the anointing, they also have to have the training. And that's where following God comes in. See, when you have a communion relationship and you're pliable to him, you're yielded to him. If you can, anybody that's anointed or anybody that can receive an anointing and then yield to the Lord, they can become very powerful if they are true, continually choose to walk in the way of love.
That fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
You're going to get love in there, aren't you?
Got to. Without love, it's all nothing.
You know. That's who God is.
Now, David, in one sense, he endeavored to be a king so hard, it looked like he was a man. That's what a man of pride would do. He tried to exalt himself. But there were things that set David apart. God gave Saul into his hands twice, and he wouldn't kill him. He loved the honor of God. He loved the anointed king. He loved the anointing and God's way more than his own. And he would not kill God's anointing. Now, the Lord has to train people. And once he trained them, then he'll give them an assignment. Now, years ago, I mentioned this a long time ago. The Lord had a stack of paper on his desk. And I saw his hand doing like that. And I knew that they were assignments, but he couldn't release them because he had to train people to so they could receive them. And sometimes he has to show you what's out there. But first of all, you got to pay some attention to what he wants to do. And you have to invite him to teach.
That's good.
Otherwise, it's not wise for him to release it. And his hand was just, he couldn't pass them out. He had the people, he had the assignment, but they weren't being trained. Several pastors he sent me to, and I saw visions of one, and he told me about others what would happen if they followed him. And then the time would come, he sent me somewhere else. I said, wait a minute, Lord, I'm expecting what I saw. And he sent me somewhere else. I said, this happened three times, three major times. And I said, Lord, what about the visions? Is it still possible? He said, no. I said, why? He said, they wasted too much training time. And it was after church one day. I was walking through the main, the doors coming out of the sanctuary. When he said that, he said, they wasted too much training time. I didn't know this. But there's a training period that with the anointing to carry it right, you have to be trained for it. And he'll have to do it. So a lot of things he won't be able to do unless people yield to him. Jesus said in Luke, he said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. Mm-hmm. We have to build with God. And yeah. There are people who just happen to do right. And then the Lord pour anointing on them. Rob Parsley, people always fly up there and ask him, how did he do it? What's your formula? He said, I don't know, just chase God and it happens. But he's right. You chase God,
that's cute.
You yield to him, and it happens.
Amen. That fellowship. Amen.
And some people expect the ministry to flow a certain way. The anointing flows in what God needs. It flows according to what God needs, beyond your expectation. He can do things so many different ways. It can puzzle you, but if you're steadfast and unmovable, you will abound. You'll yield and you'll stay yielded and you'll stay in faith about it. Everything that you do, you have to be in faith about it. Every aspect of the assignment, you have to believe it. Just like you'll believe in God for your healing or your salvation, you have to believe him for whatever he tell you. You have to believe it and act on it, and it'll work. And for every assignment that I ever did, he prepared me for it. The website ministry, he prepared me for it. He's told me things in repetition for a few years before I did it. And then Pastor prophesied about a radio ministry, but it was actually that website ministry. Every time I went to him about another radio ministry, the Lord, he was silent, but he gave me revelation continuing about the website. And it all fit together. You know, whatever God give you to do, you're anointed, and the anointing can do far. It can do things far beyond what you'd expect. I like the next chapter we're going to be in. It talks about the anointing. I didn't know that was a recipe for the anointing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to get to, that oil.
And it's a 7-part recipe. The spices.
But, you know, that's the reason the anointing came on, is because when God told Moses, that's the first beginning of the anointing, uh-huh. When God told Moses to do this oil,
yeah,
to anoint folks with.
And I forgot about that. I read that a long time. I just totally forgot about it till she mentioned it. I read over and didn't think nothing about it from the time I first read it.
Yeah, we're going to get that in the book.
It's good.
I think we'll say that to next week because it's 10:20 already.
Oh, yeah.
Just say
yeah.
What you want.
But
how you want to end it up.
What I like to see people get anointed. I like to see people doing assignments. I know that people are going to live if they continue. It doesn't matter what it is. God is broad. He can do great things. The narrow path is following Jesus, but the method is broad. He can take a man and put him on the radio and win
souls.
That's
good. You don't know what you said, but that's good.
He can put you on TV. He can do it with... Remember the poem, Footprints? So a man made a poem about footprints, and it just went viral without the internet. People had that poem. You could buy it in bookstores. People, you could see it in secular places. And he wrote a paper and it went viral. People just, it went everywhere in other nations. And I got the man's name that did it. I saw the original footprints. There's more to it. He wrote a book called Gathered Fragments. He's a pastor out of Georgia. And I went to a publisher in North Carolina. I was going to publish that the Cost of Freedom one time. And this guy is who Kenneth Hagin used. And he said, "You want to know who wrote Footprints?" He said, "I know who wrote Footprints." And he gave me the book. but the man, God can take something, one poem, and pour his anointing on it and bless millions of people with it.
You know, that's what he did with Jesus. Say his fame went out. He didn't tack no posters up or anything, you know. But he said his fame went out. People just came to hear him. And, it's just...
This part, what I'm saying, not never underestimate how far the anointing can go and what it can do. And the Lord, when he gave me that the good newsletter in the neighborhood, there used to be a gunfight every other weekend. Every other weekend, it was a bad gunfight. I woke up, I knew the difference between shotguns and automatic weapons and pistols and firecrackers. I could wake up, that's just a firecracker. I knew it. If it was whatever kind of gun it was, I could tell that was a gun. And I immediately started taking authority of it. Well, when he gave me the good newsletter, all the gunfighting stopped. All of it. Until, it took me a while. I started in January. It took me to November to realize that there were no more gunfights. And I said, it stopped. You know, you can look at it as a coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences. The gunfight stopped the day I started passing out those papers.
See that?
And they started shooting again after I left the neighborhood. I was leaving with the last load and a gunfight broke out. I said, "Lord, who would believe this? What? How did you do that?" I'm like, it made me have a healthy respect for the anointing. And I wanted to see the same thing. I knew what could happen. God was training me. I knew that when people obey God, things happen in the spirit. And I wanted to see the same thing happen in other people's ministry.
Amen.
You just said when people obey God, things happen in the spirit.
That's good.
That is
good.
Profound.
Yeah. That is. Even your enemies will be at peace with you.
Amen. You know, Apostle, we were talking about different people carrying different anointing. Mm-hmm. And I think Billy Graham told this. He said, him and Oral Roberts, they were doing something, I think, in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
And they happened to just be in the same hotel. And at Billy Graham meeting, he was getting people saved like crazy. People coming down, running down, you know, just to get the salvation. And one lady brought her child down to get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Graham cried. He said, I can't hear it. You know, he went back into the hotel and he cried like a baby. He said, if Oral was there, that child would have been healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, you know, people talk about Billy Graham. They said a lot of people didn't stay saved after that. That's because the church didn't gather in to help them and mm-hmm. teach them people.
Yeah.
About salvation. He couldn't do it all. He got him to come mm-hmm. to that confession of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But he was crying like a baby. He said, I just couldn't get the boy healed. I tried. You know, he was getting them all saved, but he just couldn't. He said, and if Oral was here, he told Oral, he said, if he was there, you would have got that boy healed.
We have different anointings for different reasons.
For all to work together.
Yeah.
See, in these last days, all of us are going to be working together. The angels, I mean, y'all, this revival that's coming up, I mean, it's going to be off the chain. Everybody's going to be working.
That's what I want to see. And I knew it was possible. And I wanted to get people on board with God so it could happen. But tradition, people were that meter went more traditional than the Holy Spirit. But when the Lord trains us, we can do it. You will see the greater miracles that we desire to see. And working together, there are people who are anointed to help people have
That's
cohesion.
The church.
Mm-hmm.
See, the church is just not this church, but the church is.
Yeah, some people, their anointing will cause people to have cohesion. And God, there are so many necessities, and there are so many assignments, but they're received when people can, when they train.
And you know what Billy Graham could have done? He didn't have the knowledge. He could have said, Lord, I need an anointing for this to heal this boy.
Uh-huh.
Give me an anointing to heal this boy. But he had operated in the anointing of salvation so much until, you know.
And we know in part, you know, people know in part. You'll win where you, faith begins where the word of God is known. Mm-hmm. And some people, the Lord spend more time with people in certain areas. I don't do everything, but, you know, if I had a need, I'm sure God could help me do it. But for what I do, I got friends the Lord anointed their hands to heal. And I said, Lord, you never dealt with me about healing. And he said, he told me why. He said, I want people to pay more attention to what you're saying. If I use you that way, they wouldn't pay as much attention to what I give you to say. And he knows what he's doing. But Pastor laid hands on us, and I lay hands on people. We pray for people at church, and they get healed. You know, the evangelist Hoppin' John, he got healed from Chicago. Danny had a friend that evangelist. He had his when they operated on. He had a complete blockage. The doctor said, "I don't know why he's alive." And he came through. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless us this week to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name.